Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you now that we have this time. And we do ask you that your Holy Spirit rains down upon us, Father. For we know it is already within us because of the faith that we have in you. And Lord, I just pray that what we hear this morning will guide us to what the truth really is. And of course, as Jesus said, as we covered previously, Lord, your word is truth. We thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that you will reveal even more to us as we go each day. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we saw Jesus praying for us. We saw him praying for himself. We saw him praying for his disciples. And then we saw him praying for all those that would learn of him through what the disciples taught. And now we're going to come to an hour which Jesus would glorify God the Father. We're fast approaching Calvary. We're fast approaching the tomb. We're fast approaching the time where the disciples would be scattered. In fact, let's see what happened after the prayer of Jesus. And this is according to John's Gospel. First, Jesus and the remaining disciples went to pray in the garden. Now, when Jesus said this prayer that we talked about last week, he was actually right after the Lord's Supper, so they were still in the upper room. He had not gone to the garden yet. But now they went out to the garden, and all the disciples, the remaining, minus Judas, went to the garden with Jesus to pray. And while that was happening, Judas gathered some soldiers and the temple police and went to where Jesus was. Why? Because Judas had been there before. They had prayed there before together. He knew the location where they would be, so he took them and went. And then, of course, we know when we got there that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And it's very interesting when Jesus asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am He." And what did they do? They fell backwards and fell to the ground. He used the words, "I am," which is the name of God. And for these Jewish people, but even the Romans, the soldiers, they fell back and to the ground. And then we know what happened next. Poor old Malchus, the servant of the high priest, was there, and Peter grabbed a sword and whopped his ear off. And of course, Jesus healed him, and he told Peter to put away his sword. And then Jesus was led away to first Annas and then Caiaphas. And it was during that time that Peter denied Jesus the three times, as was prophesied, and the rooster crowed. And then we know that Jesus is questioned by Annas and turned over to Caiaphas, and then he was sent to Pilate. Now that's where we're going to pick the story up. And all of that is covered in John 18, 1 through 27. But we're going to pick up in verse 28. So let's start in John 18, verse 28, and we're going to go to verse 38 this morning. John 18, 28 through 38. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Well, first of all, it strikes me, let me stop right there. They didn't want to go into the judgment hall with the Gentiles because they would be defiled, but yet here they are giving an innocent man over to be killed. Kind of ironic, don't you think? Moving on to verse 31, "Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Remember that. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, He went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. Now we know the outcome of this meeting according to Scripture. Most of us have lived long enough that we understand what is about to happen. How they would take Jesus out and how they would scourge Jesus. And how they would beat him until he didn't even look human. And Pilate would represent him to the crowd. And he would say the famous words, Echo home, here is the man, behold the man. And the crowd would scream, crucify him. Why? What fault has he done? Crucify him. Jesus was innocent. In fact, he had no sin in him at all. And yet the crowd wanted him dead. And we know there were some in the crowd that didn't. But a vast majority did. And isn't it the same today? They want Jesus to disappear. In fact, I've seen protesters carry signs, if Jesus comes again, we'll kill him again. Yeah, right. The first time was to fulfill the will of God. The second time, he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's not coming as meek and mild. He's not coming as anything but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, I pray that he hastens that day. That he hastens that day. But I want to talk about something that I kind of hinted at this week in the devotion that I put out on Facebook. Look at Jesus, at what Jesus said about those who hear his voice. I want to read verse 36 and through 37 one more time. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. So Jesus is saying, you're the one saying I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you hear and believe in Jesus Christ, you are of the truth. And I'm talking about the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus, not a made-up Jesus. There's plenty of them to go around too. But the one that heareth the real word of God is of the truth. They have the truth, they possess the truth, they live in the truth. Not saying they're perfect. Because unfortunately, this side of heaven, not one of us is perfect except for the Lord himself. But we know what perfect is. We see what perfect is. We understand that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the truth. This is the gospel. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Well, that's kind of hard to say. We call everyone who belongs to Jesus the kingdom, you know, we belong to the kingdom of God. And we understand that in a certain way, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, there is a portion of the kingdom that is here. But we must understand that the kingdom that Jesus is referring to is the heavenly kingdom of God the Father and the kingdom that he will establish on this earth when he returns. There's a reason he's called King of Kings. There is a reason that he comes back on a symbolic white horse, the charger that he's coming, and he's going to have that rod of iron, and he's going to rule and reign, and we are going to rule and reign with him because we belong to the house of God. And those that know this live in the truth. One day Jesus shall make it so where his kingdom is in this world. But at the moment he said this, the kingdom was still in the hearts of those who loved him and in the future context of post-resurrection times. And Jesus admitted to Pilate that he was born to be a king. This is the reason I came into this world. He was worshipped as a king right after the shepherds worshipped him. And then a little bit later, when he was a little bit older, not much older, but a little bit older, the wise men came. And they worshipped him as king. They gave him the gifts. We talk about this every year at Christmas time. And it says the whole reason he came into this world was to be the king. And the king that would give himself for the forgiveness of sins so that all those who would believe in him would be saved. All those that believe in him are of the truth. Now let's go to that last part of verse 37. Of course, 37, to this end I was born, and this cause came in a world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Christ came to bear witness to the truth. What is the truth? That God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you got to believe. You got to exercise the faith that God allows you to have. The truth is that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. The truth is that only Christ is there. Forgiveness. In Christ there is forgiveness and reconciliation with a loving God. The truth is that God shows His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is that God made Him, as we said, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. All of those things are the truth. And the world cannot deny that. They can attempt to. But just like I told Brother Mel, this woman, you can't paint stripes on a cow and it be a zebra. The truth is the truth, no matter how you mess with it. Some of y'all that knows cows, what I'm talking about, right? Teresa's going, Brothers and sisters, the world can question it. And sometimes even we, in our dark moments of doubt and fear and pain and anxiety, we question it. But the truth remains the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And all of the things that I told you was the truth, is that encapsulated? But the world will not hear the truth. That's why all those that hear Jesus are of the truth. The world, the worldly system, those that reject Him are not of the truth. Those who accept a false Christ are not of the truth. Instead of acknowledging the truth, they divert the argument away from needing the truth, knowing what the truth is, rightfully so. They divert it and try to say what truth is on their own. They pull a pilot. What is truth? Well, Jesus already said, we covered it last week, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, is truth because He is called the living Word. He is truth. Everything He said is from the Father. It is truth. And to deny that means you are not of the truth. And you cannot fight this. This rings above all other claims. Truth is what the Creator of truth says it is, and not what sinful man falsely claims. All truth is God's truth. The truth is Christ Jesus. It's that simple, brothers and sisters. No exceptions, no alterations, no changes, no reinterpretations for today's society and reality. If God and Jesus, according to the Scripture, do not change, and they don't, then their truth does not change. The truth of God does not change, period. Man's sinful inclinations and challenges to God's authority are only occasions for God's laughter. Doesn't the Psalms tell us that God holds in derision those who scoff and mock Him? Holds them in derision. You know what that means? It means He's laughing at them. God laughs at the vain attempts at man's sinfulness to try to change what the truth is. And so since they can't change the reality of the truth and they can't deny the existence of truth, what they do, the world, Pilate, and everybody else that hates God, they try to change what the truth is. You know, there's some things that you cannot change. Remember many, many years ago when I think it was Sarah Palin, she was running for Vice President, she made something funny at the time. She said, you can't put lipstick on a pig and expect it to be anything other than a pig with lipstick on it. Think about that for a second. That's what man does. Man tries to beautify sin. He tries to make it acceptable. He tries to make it beautiful. But sin will bite you. Sin will kill you. I've told you the story before about the young girl who was walking down the forest path, and there was this beautiful coral snake laying in the path, and the snake was tempting her, and he's like, "Oh, I'm so cold. You know I'm a snake. I'm cold-blooded. I need warmth. Would you please pick me up and hold me?" And the girl was like, "No, you're a snake. If I pick you up, you're going to bite me." And the snake says, "Look how beautiful I am. Look at all the multiple colors. I'm like a rainbow. Would God make something so beautiful and it be dangerous? Please, I'm so cold. Pick me up." And so the girl thought, well, it is beautiful. It is nice. But she still had the doubt. And he said, "Look, child, I'm a talking snake. I'm beautiful. I need your warmth to survive. Won't you help me live on?" So the girl picked him up, and of course the snake bit her. And she dropped the snake. And as the girl lay dying, she said, "I thought you said you were beautiful." And the snake looked at her and said, "Girl, you knew I was a snake when you picked me up." You think about that for a second. The world tries to play with sin. We all do. I mean, I'll be the first to admit it. Sometimes I turn on TV, you know, and I'll laugh at something that's coarse or something like that. Now, I don't hardly watch TV anymore at all. I watch, you know, an occasional ball game and news and weather, but all that stuff they call entertainment, that's not entertainment. And every time I watch it, I felt myself falling into a trap. I knew what it was when I went in. Why do I want to participate in things like that? Even as a bystander just on looking, you are participating in something if it is evil. And brothers and sisters, a lot of people don't want to hear that. And I'm not saying you can't watch your ball games and stuff like that. Don't hear me incorrectly. But when you are giving assent to something that you know is wrong, when the little bell that the Holy Spirit is ringing, sitting there going, blah, 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 in your ear, okay? Don't participate. Walk away, for it's sin, and sin will bite you. Even as a believer, you won't lose your salvation, but what blessing will you lose? What will come between you and God? It's amazing. So the world asks, what is truth? And here's what I kind of hinted at this week in the devotion. We must not argue on their terms. That is one of the worst things that we Christians can do, is give in to their argument before we even start. They have no truth. The world has no truth. Let me repeat that. The world has no truth. It believes in a lie. And when they try to start telling you, well, my truth, their truth ain't squat. I got to be careful here. Their truth is irrelevant, immaterial, stupid, and not room for us to argue with. We have the truth because we have Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that as a prideful, I'm better than you type. No, I'm saying that in a pleading manner. We have the truth. It's in the Word of God. It is God Himself. Please accept it. But they don't, because they love the lie. They love the darkness rather than the light. And brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know what the Bible says, and I know we're supposed to love and pray for people like that, but sometimes it makes me so angry. I think things like, you're going to get what you deserve. But don't we all deserve it? Because we're all sinners. And it was only God's glory, His blessing, His Son, the blood of His Son, that brought us to the truth. And I pray that that truth will penetrate even the darkest heart, that they may know the love and the forgiveness and the mercy of, that God has for them. We must not argue on their terms. Their arguments are vain deceit and selfish philosophy. As I said, it is pointless and useless. Unless the Holy Spirit gives spiritual sight, which I pray that He does, to the sinfully blinded, they will not see the truth. It's not that they can't, they won't. They won't. Their sin is their goal and their prize. And what are the wages of sin? Death. Yet the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What truth does the world have that is contrary to the Word of God? None. Nada. Zilch. They got nothing but lies, innuendo, and contempt for the real truth. So brothers and sisters, when you're arguing with someone who says they have the truth and they can't even tell you which bathroom is the right to use, or they tell you that men can get pregnant, when you hear that kind of stuff, ain't no sense arguing with them. You just present the truth and move on. Because they refuse, they will not hear the truth. And only a miracle of God, which He does still do, will be able to penetrate that heart. So you love them, you tell them the truth, and then you move on. Because you have the truth, they don't. And if God opens their heart to where they want to have the truth, then you're there for them to tell them what the Word of God says. When you hear someone argue about the legitimacy of truth, realize that their puny and iniquitous arguments leave no dents or injury to the truth that is God's Word. No matter what they say, they can't change the truth of the gospel. They can hoot and holler and scream and all that kind of stuff. And they can tell you you're ignorant and stupid and you're silly and you're backwards and all that kind of stuff. You know what? It don't mean a hill of beans. Even the devil tempted Jesus. And Jesus, who wrote the Word, used the Word. When we are confronted by that, we use the Word that He wrote for us. In fact, it tells us when you're in front of kings and counselors and you don't know what to say, do not fret, for in that moment the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. You trust the Lord. And sometimes it's just to keep your mouth shut. You know, when someone's going off and being silly and making all these kind of crazy things, I just sit back and don't say a word. Because their own silly arguments about what truth is will literally cancel themselves out. Why do I say that? Well, you think about it. Someone that says truth is relative. Okay, let's go down that path for a second. So your truth is your truth, right? Yes. So my truth is my truth, right? Right. So what's true to me is true. Yes. What's true to you is true. Yes. So my truth, I say that your truth is stupid. That makes me right and you're stupid. Do you see how that works? It's like the old joke about the man who went to the wise man and said, I want the key, the secret to happiness. And the wise man said, the secret to happiness is never argue with idiots. And the man said, well, I don't believe that. And the wise man said, you're absolutely right. Think about that for a second, folks. We must not argue on their terms. Let them, I mean, you confront evil with the truth. And sometimes that evil has to come to fruition in their lives before they're humbled enough to understand just how much God loves them. We need to show people the truth. What is truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. What's your truth? Jesus Christ. What's my truth? Jesus Christ. What's the truth for the whole world? Jesus Christ. Why? Because God so loved that whole world that He sent His only begotten Son. Who is that? Jesus Christ. That whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth. But there's a lot of streams that flow off that truth. You know, the opposite of a truth claim can still be true. If whoever believes in Him should not perish, well, whoever does not believe in Him will perish. We try at all times to show the truth in a spirit of love and mercy. Love and mercy. That's what was given to us, and that's what we need to give to people. But in doing so, we must stand firm in the truth that is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. We must stand firm and true to the cause of Christ. Never let the enemy cast a doubt into your mind. They're going to come up on your own anyway. You don't need someone else telling you that. But you know, when you're of the truth, that truth will overcome any doubt, any fear, any anxiety. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm speaking from personal experience. When you're in the middle of that storm, when you're in the middle of that problem, when you're in the middle of that situation, yes, objectively, you know the truth. But it's hard to see that truth when you're surrounded by the thunderheads, the lightning, the thunder, the rain, the hail, all that stuff. But yet, the truth doesn't leave you. The truth is still there. And just as Christ was sleeping in the back of the boat, He doesn't sleep with us. Because He who keeps Israel does neither sleep nor slumber. Now that was talking Old Testament, Yahweh God, but Jesus is God the Son, so it applies to Him also. And brothers and sisters, we need to show that truth. Do not look or argue with human ability. What does that mean? Don't try to trust your own wisdom. You know, there's an old saying that says, you know, do not say too much. Because if you say a little, if you say nothing, people may think you're a fool, but if you speak, they'll know it. Sometimes it's better to stay silent. But when you have the opportunity, trust in God's wisdom, in God's truth, not your own. Let the Holy Spirit give you the words to say at the appropriate moment. And whether, as we mentioned, it be kings, councils, governors, family, friends, bosses, teachers, whatever it may be, the truth that Pilate questioned has not changed. We are part of the kingdom of God. Think about that, brothers and sisters. We are part of the kingdom of God. And if you're not, you can be. Through simple faith in the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who was born to be a king, the one who confessed to a representative of the mightiest empire that part of the world had ever known at the height of its power. But He was the one born. He was the one that came into the world born to be the king. All the rest of them got it through military power or being born in the right family. No. He came with the... And He was already King of the universe. Let's face it, this was a downgrade for what Jesus was. He was God the Son. And then He became Jesus the Messiah. But He did it out of love. He did it out of love for those that would love Him. Brothers and sisters, that is the gospel truth. And that truth cannot and will not ever be changed. So even when you see the darkness, when you read it in the paper, when you see it on TV, when you experience it in your own families, do not think that God has disappeared. The truth that He said is still in effect. The truth that He will never leave us or forsake us is still there. The truth that we are now children of the living God through faith in the only begotten Son of God will never, ever, ever change. So when the world goes about painting stripes on cows or putting lipstick on pigs or not being able to figure out what bathroom you go to and all that kind of garbage, folks, the truth will not change. Even atheists understand this. I don't know. Y'all know who Richard Dawkins is? He wrote this book a while back called The God Delusion. A very, very unapologetic atheist. Now his brother is a born, bred, dyed-in-the-wool Christian apologist. That would be a very interesting family reunion. Think about that for a second. But Richard Dawkins even said, there's only two genders, male and female. And so one of the biggest allies these people that believe in this false truth have is saying, you people are idiots. That's not me saying that. That's one of their own saying that. Now, if that happens, we know that what they have is not the truth. But what we have is the truth, the only truth, and nothing but the truth. And brothers and sisters, that's all we need. Praise team. But the question is, when I say we have the truth, yes, I'm speaking as Christians as a whole. But individually, do you have the truth? Individually, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Individually, have you accepted His claim to be the way, the truth, and the life? If you haven't, now's the time to do so. Because folks, it ain't getting any better out there. And we know from reading the Bible that it's going to get a lot worse before it does get better. So are you going to do it now when the sun is shining and God has given you clarity of wisdom and understanding? Or are you going to wait till you're at the barrel of a gun or at the end of a hangman's noose or whatever they choose to use? Do it now when God is calling you. Join this wonderful family where the King has nothing but hope and mercy and forgiveness waiting for you. Does that mean your brothers and sisters are going to be perfect? No. Any of y'all that's ever had brothers and sisters know that even in a close family, you ain't going to get along with everybody. But you know what? You're a lot better off than those that don't. Brothers and sisters, do not delay if God is moving your heart. The times, they are changing, and they are changing according to what the Word of God says. Prepare ourselves with the truth. Prepare ourselves with the truth. Now, next week, before we close, I want to remind you, next week is Palm Sunday. We are having the Lord's Supper. The sermon will be about the Lord's Supper. But I want you to think about that this week. I want you to prepare yourself. I want you to go to God. I want you to clear out anything. Folks, communion is a special time. Lord's Supper is a special time where we are in intimate contact with the Spirit of God. No, the Spirit does not dwell in the elements, but the Spirit of God is in our hearts. And we're sharing a close time with Christ where we need to test ourselves, try ourselves to make sure that we are in a right standing with God. So during this week, I pray that God will remind you of that and that you will go to the Lord in prayer. And then next Sunday morning, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday, which is the following week.